the next verse is kind of continuation of this and is the same idea, but he has explained it a little more better in this. Verse number 15. Swayam evatmanatmanam vetatvam purushottama bhuta bhavana bhutesha deva deva jagatpate. Swayam eva, so you alone. Swayam means you yourself. Atmana, atmanam, only you know yourself by yourself. Vetat, vetat means know. Tvam, Purushottama, O highest Purushottama, the highest Lord. Purusha is the, as we had mentioned, is the spirit. So Uttam Purush means that highest spirit, that total consciousness. He calls Krishna as that total consciousness, the Brahman, the highest Lord. Swayam eva atmana atmanam vetatvam. So you know yourself by yourself in yourself. So he says only you can know yourself by yourself in yourself. Why? Because you are the Supreme Self. You are the Supreme Self. Only you can know yourself. Then how am I to know him? So then he describes some qualities of the Lord. He says, who are you? You are Bhuta Bhavana. You are the creator of this whole universe. As we have said, the Lord is the one that creates the whole universe. Bhutesha. And you are the Lord of this universe. Deva Deva, you are the God of all the gods, the Devas, all the celestial powers. And Jagatpate, and you are the Lord or the Pati or the Lord of this whole Jagat, this whole world. So when he says that you only can know yourself by yourself, then how am I to know him? So Swamiji in his commentary says that there are three states. There is a deep sleep state, there is dream, and there is waking. Now, the dreamer, and we have talked, like the deep sleeper, can he know the waker? No. How about the dreamer in the dream? You know, like we have talked many times, the dreamer is, say, I'm somewhere in the marketplace, and I lost my money, and I lost my car, and I'm wandering around lost, and I have nothing, and I am, you know, in some foreign place, and I have lost my credit card, and I'm all sad. And then somebody comes and tells me, you are not in the foreign land, you are sleeping comfortably in your home in Bakersfield. I'm not going to believe him. In the dream, I'll say, what are you talking? You know, I've lost my credit card, I've lost my wallet, and I have nowhere to go, I have no money. So in the dream, you can never know the waker. How can I know the waker? When I wake up. When I wake up, then I say, oh my God, I am in my house in Bakersfield. I was never in that foreign country. I had never lost my credit card. And I was, all that suffering was happening. So in the dream, no matter how much a saint or Swami Chinmayananda comes and tells me, you are not this dreamer, you know, you are sleeping comfortably in your home, I will not believe him. I'll say, what are you talking? So in this world is also, they say, is a dream. This is not, even though it appears real at this moment, but there is a higher state of consciousness. So there are four states. There is deep sleep, dream, waking, what we call waking, and the fourth state is the state of awakening called Turiya, the fourth state. And these great rishis have woken up to that state, and they have told us that this is not your true state. This is the temporary state which you are here, whether you are here as Anil or Amrita or Anamika, whatever part you are playing, whatever role you are playing, that is not your true state. You are that one consciousness, and wake up to that state. And even in all the scriptures, you say, you know, Tera, this is not your true home, you know, and all the bhajans, they say, my home is, you know, Vaikuntha, or my home is Kailash, or my home is with Krishna. That is where I really belong. So the idea is that you need to wake up to that state. And when you wake up to that God state, when you wake up to that sainthood, then you realize that this world is just a play. And then, and a wise person then continues to function in the world. doing his duties, but realizing that this is not permanent. This is not my permanent abode. This is not my permanent house. This is not my permanent goal. And only it can happen when you merge into that state. Ramakrishna Paramhansa, who was a great saint in the 19th century, gave a very beautiful example. And he says that the salt doll wanted to know the depth of the ocean. So the salt doll said, I want to find out how deep the ocean is. So she jumped into the ocean and she wanted to find the depth. And what happened? She disappeared. The salt doll disappeared and became one with the ocean. And then she understood, oh, how big the ocean is. I am that ocean. As long as she was thinking, I am a salt doll, 8 inches long and 2 inches wide, she always thought of herself as a limited, small, little entity. But when she merged with the ocean, then she realized that, oh my God, how huge the ocean is. So similarly, you and I think of ourselves as this limited creature, but Mahatmas like Swami Chinmayananda and Shankaracharya and Buddha and Jesus and all tell us that you are actually that divinity. You are that consciousness. And wake up to that. And once you wake up, then you realize that God and I are one. We were never separate. So right now, Arjuna is not experiencing that higher state. So he says, only you know yourself by yourself. I don't know you. I don't know you means I know you as Krishna, as my driver, as my relative, as my friend, childhood friend. But as that Atman, that consciousness, I have been told. And you yourself tell me that you are that Purushottama. In the 15th chapter also, he says. But I do not have that experience of oneness. I still think of myself as separate. And that is what. So for you and me, we see the world. For the saints, the world is less real than God. They see God and experience him or her so clearly that they say, can't you see? He is everywhere. And you and I say, where? There was a very famous story about Ramakrishna Paramhansa. This is another beautiful story. It says that when he used to be sitting and people used to come and ask him questions and they would just sit in front of him. He was such a great saint that being in his presence, even when he was doing puja to the mother goddess Kali, and they used to enjoy and they used to sit and they would be talking and suddenly he would say, shh, become quiet. So they say, what? Shh, quiet. Everybody would be quiet. He says, can't you hear the mother goddess? She's coming. See, you can hear her anklets tingling. Can you hear that? Can you hear the mother? He said, we don't hear anything. Nobody could hear. But he could hear because he was always living with mother goddess. And he could hear her more clearly. And in fact, Vivekananda asked him one time. He said, have you seen God? He says, you know what? I see God more clearly than I see you. It was not a boast, but it was a fact that for him, God was more real than all the people because they had experienced that. So that is the state of sainthood. So he says, O Purushottama, O Lord, only you can know yourself. The idea being that to know God, you have to merge with him. The ego has to go away. The separation has to go away. Total love, total identification, total oneness. Total, you know, merger. Actually, none of these words, you know, Swami Chinmayananda says, they are all verbs. Whether you say merging, whether you say seeing, whether you say becoming, whether none of this applies. He says, die to live. Swami Chinmayananda says, die to live. That means you have to die to this world to wake up to that higher. Does not mean die means not physically. You don't take a gun and shoot yourself or jump in the river. What it means is the ego dies. And when the ego dies, you wake up to that higher truth. And that is true living. Rest, everything is just existing. You know, whatever we are doing, you know, going to school, working, taking care of our things, is good. We have to do it, but that is existing. That is not living. The only people who are truly living are the saints, are the great Mahatmas, the great prophets. And that's what he says, only, O Lord, only you know yourself. Why? Because you are Bhuta Bhavana. You are the creator. You are the creator of this whole universe. Bhutesha, and you are the Lord of this universe. Lord does not mean, see, people have this wrong idea that God is some horrible being, you know, sitting up there and watching over all my actions. And the moment I do something wrong, he's going to throw a lightning and punish me. It's not like that. He's all loving. He's all compassionate. He wants to help us. He wants to do things for us. He's always there to guide us and love us. And it is very important to love God. I have talked about that many times. But have a relationship of love with him, not of fear, not of hatred, not of anger, but total, complete love. And the more you love him or her, it could be Mother Goddess, it could be the Mother Mary, it can be Durga, can be, you know, Saraswati, Lakshmi, it can be Krishna, Ram, Shiva. It doesn't matter, but God you love as your own life. And the more you love, the closer. So when we say he's the Lord of the universe, Lord does not mean like a dictator or like a king. What it means is, just as the ocean is the Lord of all the waves, right? The ocean is the Lord of all the waves. All the waves arise in the ocean, are sustained by the ocean, and merge back into the ocean. So we are all arisen from the Lord, sustained by the Lord, and we merge back into the Lord. That's why God has three aspects. In Hinduism, they give the Trinity, Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh. So Brahma is the creator, Vishnu is the one who takes care of her, and Shiva is the one who takes us when it is time to go. So the idea being they are all one, all three aspects of that one creator. Just as the mud is the source of all the parts arise in the mud, are sustained in the mud, and when the pot breaks, it merges back into the mud. So the mud is the Lord of all the parts, the ocean is the Lord of all the waves, the gold is the Lord of all the ornaments. So here he is the Lord of the whole universe. Jagatpate means you are the one from whom this whole Jagat, not only the physical world I see, but even the emotional world. You know, there are three worlds. There are multiple worlds, of course. Then there is this world we can see. And then there are all the heavens, you know, seven above and then six below. You know, they say Chaudeh Lok. There are 14 worlds. But these are the physical worlds. But then there is the world of emotions, you know, my emotions, my joys and my sorrows. Then the world of concepts and thoughts. So he's the Lord of all of them, which is true. If the Lord is consciousness is not in me, I won't be able to see anything. I won't be able to feel any emotions. I won't be able to think. So he is the Lord in me is the Lord of all. He's the Lord of my body, of my mind, of my intellect. So that is what he says, that you are the Lord not only of the visible universe, but all the higher worlds and the lower worlds, heaven and hell. And you are also the Lord of my emotions. Because there is an emotional world, right? I love somebody, I don't love somebody, I like this, I don't like. And then there is a world of concepts, world of physics, you know, like this computer, all this internet. That what they call it as a virtual world. You know, virtual world, the world of the internet where everything now, this iCloud and I didn't even know a lot of these things. But it is so interesting. You know, there is this whole virtual world where with your iCloud, your iPad and your iPhone and your computer, everything can be connected. You enter one thing here. How does that all happen? That is all, you know, the miracles of modern technology. But even that, my computer or my iPhone, I cannot use if I am not conscious, if I am not alive. So the idea is that he is the Lord of this whole universe. He's the Lord of my body, of my emotional world, of my intellectual world. And he is the Lord of all the bodies and all the emotions and all the intellects. Everything is known to him. And everything can only function in the presence of the Lord. So that's why he says, Bhuta Bhavana Bhutesha Jagat Pate. And then he used Deva Deva. Deva Deva, one is, of course, he is the Lord of all the Devas. That is one way to understand. Yes. He is the Lord of, you know, the Vayu Devta, the Lord of Sun, the Lord of Wind and all. But the word Devas, also in Sanskrit, Deva comes from to illumine. So when we say illumine, like my eyes illumine everything I see. If my eyes are closed, even though the people are here in front of me, I don't see them. So only when my eyes are open, I'm illumining everybody. Like I am the object because you can see me. So similarly, the eyes illumine all the sights. The ears illumine the sounds. Like I can hear the sound of this mic. You know, why? Because my ears are illumining. Until now, till I pointed it out, most of you didn't even know. Even though the sound was going on, because your ears were not turned in that direction. So my eyes illumine the sights, my ears illumine the sounds, my nose illumines the smell, my tongue all the taste, and my hand or my skin all the touch. So the see, hear, smell, taste, and touch, all those are also called devas. So the eyes, ears, nose, skin, and tongue are called the devas. They are called the sense organs, which illumine everything in this universe. And the consciousness is that which is behind. If there was no consciousness, I wouldn't be seeing anything. I wouldn't be hearing, tasting, smelling, touching. So the consciousness is the Lord of everything, all the devas, all the sense organs. So all the sense objects can only be illumined when the consciousness is there. But not only that, but it even illumines the sun. You can say, how can you illumine the sun? The sun has its own energy. First of all, if you believe that God created the sun, then he is the one who gave energy. But even otherwise, okay, sun is there. How can I illumine the sun? If I am not conscious, I am not aware of the sun. The sun I can only become aware of if I am in deep sleep. And the room is closed, I am not aware. But when I wake up, I say, oh, the daylight has come. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. I should have got up a long time ago. You know, I'm late for school. So when I am in deep sleep or when I am not alive, then the sun may be there in the universe, but I am not aware of it. So it is the consciousness that illumines the sun. And all the beings in the universe only become aware of the sun when they are conscious, when they are alive. So the idea being that everything in this universe is illumined by that one consciousness. That's why he's called Devadev. Each of these words has a lot of meaning, and you know, we can spend a lot of time, but you get the general idea that why does Arjuna use these words for Krishna? Why does he use them for the Lord? Idea being that you are the one that illumines everything. Everything we become aware of in your presence. Any quick comments?
If there is a God, why did he make it so difficult?
No, he didn't make it difficult. We make it difficult. You know, you just have to say, I am that. That's it. And start living it. You know, it is our... Right, because you are still looking in the world. Most of your time is spent in looking at the world. Like Ramakrishna Paramhans, his whole life was spent just thinking about Mother Goddess. And when a lot of times, you know the story, instead of putting the garland on the Mother Goddess, he would put the garland on himself. Because he saw no difference between me and the Mother Goddess. So these, in fact, like Swami Chinmayananda, we will be doing, when we're doing the 14th chapter, he talks about it. He says that it is easy to live in a cave and be in sattva, you know, where you don't have to deal with the world. And you say, oh, that is very easy. That's how sattva binds. You know, we'll talk next week on Wednesday evening. But he said it's very difficult to function in the world and always stay in that sattva state. Because when you're dealing with people, then you get rajas, you get tamas, I get angry with somebody, I get ignorant. But to function in the world and still stay in that sattva, very few people can do that. So with practice and with effort, it can happen. And Arjuna asks Krishna the same question, how can I control my mind? So he says with practice and with vairagya. So as you listen to the teacher, and why it is so difficult? Because we have hundreds of lifetimes of all these vasanas that we have built up. So it hides the truth from us. It is we ourselves who have done it. It is like you make it black, you paint it black, put all the mud and dirt. Until you clean that dirt, the sunlight will not come through. So we have to clean. It is our own doing that we have gone away from the truth. He has not made it difficult. We have gone away from him. That's why even in the Bible they say, no, that the Adam and Eve were living with God and then they, you know, decided to, you know, go away from him. So it is our own doing, and it is numerous lifetimes. You know, you have just started studying, you know, for last 10, 15, 20 years. But how many thousands of years you have not studied? So it is good. I think just to be on this path, have to study this Gita, listen to Swami Chinmayananda and all these acharyas is a great step. So I think we are on the path and it will happen. It's not that difficult. Not that I have reached, but it'll take time. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha. Sarve Santu Niramayaha. Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu. Ma Kaschid Dukkha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namah.